This is VOA 1, The Hits.
You said you hated the...
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell, Brian Lynn, and Faith Perlow. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is John Russell.
On Thursday, scientists released the first image of the very large black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. The mysterious object, called Sagittarius A star, or Sagger A star, is only the second black hole to be imaged. The University of Arizona's Ferial Ozel called the black hole the gentle giant in the center of our galaxy while announcing the new image. The international group behind the Event Horizon Telescope, EHT, project released the image. The EHT in 2019 revealed the first ever photo of a black hole that is at the heart of a different galaxy. Sagittarius A star has 4 million times the mass of our sun and is located about 26,000 light-years from Earth. A light-year is the distance light travels in a year, about 9.5 trillion kilometers. Black holes are extremely dense. Their gravitational pull is so powerful that nothing, not even light, can escape. As a result, it is difficult to see them. Project scientists looked for a ring of light around an area of darkness representing the black hole. This is known as the black hole's shadow or silhouette. The image released in 2019 of the supermassive black hole in a galaxy called Messier 87, or M87, showed a ring of red, yellow, and white surrounding a dark center. The M87 black hole is far more distant and large than Sagittarius A star. The researchers said that Sagittarius A star, despite being much closer to our solar system than M87, was harder to image. Lindy Blackburn, an EHT data scientist at the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, said Sagittarius A star is over 1,000 times less massive than the black hole at M87, but since it is in our own galaxy, it is much closer and should appear just slightly larger on the sky. The Event Horizon Telescope is a global group of observatories working to study radio sources linked to black holes. The project began in 2012 to try to directly observe the immediate environment of a black hole. There are different kinds of black holes. The smallest are called stellar mass black holes. Intermediate mass black holes have more mass. And finally, there are the supermassive black holes that are at the center of most galaxies. These are thought to appear relatively soon after their galaxies are formed. Thursday's announcement was made in simultaneous news conferences in the United States, Germany, China, Mexico, Chile, Japan, and Taiwan. I'm John Russell.
Cambodian fishermen were surprised to discover a rare giant stingray they caught by accident in the Mekong River. The fishermen caught the endangered fish last week in a deep part of the Mekong in Cambodia's northeastern Stung Treng province. It measured 4 meters long and weighed about 180 kilograms. The giant freshwater stingray is one of Southeast Asia's largest and rarest species of fish. The stingray was caught when it swallowed a smaller fish that had taken a fisherman's hook. An international team of experts worked with the fishermen to unhook the fish. The team then examined the stingray before returning it unharmed to the river. The experts were from Wonders of the Mekong, a U.S. government-financed organization. The group carries out research activities on the Mekong and shares its results with governments and communities along the river. The Mekong River is Southeast Asia's longest, passing through China, Laos, Thailand, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. About 60 million people depend on the river for food and survival. The Mekong is an important environment for numerous species, both large and small. But the leader of Wonders of the Mekong, Zeb Hogan, said the river's underwater ecosystem is poorly understood. These are unseen worlds, underappreciated and out of sight, Hogan said in a statement from his employer, the University of Nevada. Speaking to Reuters, Hogan said the catch was significant because it confirms the existence of these big fish in this stretch of river. However, Hogan added that the faraway area is not well studied and is considered under threat. The area could suffer devastating ecological effects if proposed hydropower dam projects move forward, the scientific team said in a statement. Other threats include illegal fishing and large collections of plastic waste. Hogan has been studying biodiversity in the Mekong for more than 20 years. He told Reuters the reduction in population of some freshwater fish in the river was very concerning. Historically, this part of river produced 200 billion young fish, Hogan said. Then, during the flooding season, the fish were spread throughout all of Cambodia and even into Vietnam, he added. I'm Brian Lin.
Today, on Everyday Grammar, we will explore the meanings of words, considering how we think and feel about them. We will learn how to choose the best words based on their definitions and additional meanings, or connotations, when we speak or write. Unlike the definitions that we find in our dictionaries, called denotations, there are different meanings associated with a word that give us more information about it. These are called the connotations of a word. The connotation can tell us if the word is more intense or less intense. If it is positive, pleasing to the speaker, or negative, something that is unpleasant to the speaker. Sometimes these associations can even be emotional or cultural. Words can fall within a range of negative, neutral, or positive connotations. We can use a line graph to show where words fall within such a range. Consider the word smell. The definition of the word smell is something sensed by the nose. A general association of smell is neutral, meaning that it could be positive or negative, depending on its use in a sentence. Other words that have the same basic meaning of sensed by the nose include words like scent and odor. Let us look at these examples. The scent of the flowers welcomes you to the garden. A scent is a smell, but the association is positive. The smell of the flowers is very pleasant. The odor of old fish filled the market. Odor is also a smell, but the connotation can be negative and unpleasant. If the fish is old, it would not have a very good smell. The smell of old books helps me to remember my childhood library. The smell of old books could be positive or negative, depending on the person, so it is neutral. Words also have different strength or intensity associations. Words can be strong or more intense, too weak or less intense. We can also show this kind of connotation with a line graph as a range. Let us compare these sentences. The restaurant was filled with the scent of coffee. The smell of bread baking made me hungry. Scent may be slightly stronger than smell in this sentence, because the smell of the coffee could fill the whole restaurant. The baseball player's clothes have a strong odor. An odor is often a very intense smell. Words can also carry emotional and cultural connotations. Consider this example. I woke up to the aroma of hot chocolate on a snowy morning. Here, the words aroma and hot chocolate create a warm and relaxing feeling, even during the cold morning. An aroma is also a smell. The connotation is very positive and strong. We often use it to describe the smell of food. Cultural connotations are specific to a country, culture, or people. For example, in the United States, apple pie, a favorite sweet food, is associated with being American. It is helpful to not only look up the definition of words within a dictionary, but to look up synonyms of a word in a thesaurus to understand different connotations. For cultural and emotional connotations, ask people for their feelings about the word, or if it has any importance in their culture or country. If a teacher or native speaker tells you not to use a word, ask them about the connotation of the word. You can also read books, magazines, internet stories, and social media to compare the use of words in different situations. Today, we looked at the connotations of words. Connotations are associations that expand the meaning of a word. These can change depending on the sentence. Connotations can be positive, neutral, or negative. And connotations of words can range from more intense to less intense. These associations can also be emotional or cultural. I'm Faith Perlow.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
Freedom is on the march.
I speak not only for my candidacy, I speak for a new American century.
America's best days are ahead of us.
Given a choice, the American people will stand where this president walked.
Every 4 years, American political parties nominate their candidates for president and vice president. In the summer of 2004, Republican Party delegates chose George W. Bush and Dick Cheney for a second 4 years in office. During President Bush's first term, Islamic extremists attacked the United States. Almost 3,000 people died in the September 11, 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. President Bush declared a war on terror and led the nation into wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. After the terrorist attacks, President Bush enjoyed record popularity. Public opinion studies showed that almost 90% of the American public approved of the way he was doing his job. But the president's public approval rating decreased over time. One research group found that his average approval rating for 2004 had fallen to just 50%. Before a presidential election, the main parties use primary elections and caucuses to choose delegates to a nominating meeting or convention. The person winning the most delegates usually gets the party's presidential nomination. In 2003, 10 people were seeking to become the Democratic candidate for president. Among them was John Kerry, a senator from the state of Massachusetts. Another was Howard Dean, a doctor and former governor of Vermont. There was John Edwards, a lawyer and first-term senator from North Carolina. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut also was seeking the nomination. In 2000, Senator Lieberman had been the Democratic candidate for vice president. Another senator and former senator were also seeking the nomination. So were two members of the House of Representatives, a former general, and a civil rights activist. Former Vice President Al Gore was not among the candidates. He had lost the disputed election of 2000 to George W. Bush. Mr. Gore announced he would not be a candidate in 2004.
I want my country back.
Some political observers thought Howard Dean would win the Democratic nomination. The former governor actively opposed the war in Iraq. He won praise for the way he raised money for his election campaign. Supporters gave him millions of dollars in small gifts through the internet. Then came the Iowa caucuses, the first step in the nominating process.
in January of 2004. John Kerry won with 38% of the state's delegates. John Edwards finished second with 32%. Howard Dean was third with just 18%. Senator Kerry continued to win delegates and gain support in other states. Several candidates, including former Governor Dean, withdrew from the campaign. In early March, Senator Edwards also withdrew. He did so after Senator Kerry won victories in 9 state caucuses and primary elections that were held on the same day. The Massachusetts senator named John Edwards as his choice for vice president. Senator Kerry officially received the Democratic Party nomination for president at the party's convention in Boston.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. We have it in our power to change the world, but only if we're true to our ideals. And that starts by telling the truth to the American people. As president, that is my first pledge to you tonight. As president, I will restore trust and credibility to the White House.
The combination of John Kerry and John Edwards balanced the Democratic ticket in several ways. Senator Kerry was considered a liberal. He came from the Northeast. Senator Edwards was considered more moderate. He came from the South. Kerry was Roman Catholic. Edwards was Protestant. John Kerry was born in Colorado in 1943. Like George W. Bush, he studied and graduated from Yale University. He then joined the United States Navy. He was wounded in combat and won honors for his service in the Vietnam War. He criticized the war after leaving the military. John Kerry graduated from the Boston College Law School in 1976. He became a lawyer for the state government in Massachusetts. Then he served 2 years as lieutenant governor of the state. He was first elected to the Senate in 1984. His wife, Teresa Hines Kerry, led a family foundation that gives money to important causes. Senator Kerry and President Bush debated 3 times on national television. They campaigned hard across the country. Foreign policy was the major issue during the campaign. Mr. Bush centered his campaign on national security. He said he was the best candidate to keep America safe from terrorists. He said Americans could trust him to be strong against terrorism. He presented himself as a decisive leader. He said Senator Kerry had changed positions on issues and would be unsure in the face of danger. In 2002, the senator had voted to give President Bush the power to use force against Iraq. But Mr. Kerry now criticized the way the Iraqi conflict was being fought. By autumn of 2004, more than 1,000 Americans had died in Iraq since the war started in March 2003. Thousands of Iraqi civilians also had been killed. Senator Kerry talked about the war in Iraq.
You got to be able to look in the eyes of families and say to those parents, I tried to do everything in my power to prevent the loss of your son and daughter. I don't believe the United States did that, and we pushed our allies aside.
Senator Kerry said his goal for the United States was stronger at home, respected in the world. He believed that the United States had lost respect from many of its allies because of President Bush's foreign policy in Iraq. The president defended American actions in Iraq. He said the war was needed to fight terrorism. He also expressed satisfaction that because of the war effort, Iraqis were free of a cruel dictator. In the United States, economic growth had slowed before George W. Bush became president. The economy got worse after the terrorist attacks in 2001. Mr. Kerry said the economy should be expanding at a faster rate. And he denounced the growth of the national debt under Bush's leadership. The president praised his administration's actions in difficult economic times.
6 months prior to my arrival, the stock market started to go down, and it was one of the largest declines in our history. And then we had a recession, and we got attacked, which cost us 1 million jobs. But we acted. I led the Congress. We passed tax relief. And now this economy's growing. We had 1.9 million new jobs over the last 13 months.
President Bush suggested a plan for younger workers to place some of their pay in private retirement accounts. Senator Kerry opposed this idea. The president opposed most operations to end unwanted pregnancies. The senator supported a woman's right to have an abortion. His position disagreed with that of the Roman Catholic Church. Early in the campaign, opponents of John Kerry's candidacy formed a group called Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. Its leader was a military veteran who, like Mr. Kerry, fought in the Vietnam War. The group argued that the senator was unfit to serve as president because of comments he made about his military service and his activism in the anti-Vietnam War movement.
John Kerry gave the enemy for free what I and many of my comrades in North Vietnam, in the prison camps, took torture to avoid saying.
The group even questioned the combat medals awarded to Mr. Kerry. Other Vietnam veterans, including several who had served with Kerry, denounced the charges against him as completely false. Some people believe the accusations and his campaign's delay in answering them had an important effect on the results of the election. Americans voted on November 2, 2004. As in the election of 2000, there were questions about voting problems during and after the election. The vote was especially close in the state of Ohio. Kerry supporters reported problems with voting machines. They also said many people were illegally prevented from voting. The state had enough electoral votes to decide the winner of the presidential election. But the day after the voting, Senator Kerry decided not to question President Bush's win in Ohio. The final results showed that Mr. Bush won about 51% of the popular vote nationwide. Mr. Kerry won about 48%. George W. Bush would serve 4 more years as President of the United States.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.